Hey!
This is JJ and Alex.
I made a name for myself, I told you I won't be denied.
As you wrap up your day, it's time to get your fix of the teams you live for and the sports you love. This is JJ and Alex, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hope you're enjoying this beautiful Thursday along the Wasatch Front, although there's a storm coming. I hate to spoil it for everybody, but you feel the wind out there? Yeah, it's a front coming in. Little weather forecast there for you, but I'll stop it there with the weather. We'll get into sports here. JJ and Alex, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Jeremiah Jensen, Sam Farnsworth in again.
Yeah.
For Alex Keir, it's brought to you by G2G Bars with all natural ingredients, no preservatives, and plenty of protein. G2G Bars are perfect for anyone who needs a tasty and nutritious boost. Lloyd was giving us a hard time in between the break there, between shows. He looked in here and he saw two guys in suits. I think this is the first time in KSL Sports Zone history. And that probably goes back to 1280 The Zone. Maybe in all of sports talk radio in this market, we've never had two guys in two suits. Right, Lloyd?
That is correct. Okay. In fact, mostly it was people wearing sweats. Now that's what sports radio looks like.
And I bet those sweats weren't washed regularly. So,
you ever go to Radio Row at the Super Bowl? I know a lot of fans don't, but I've wandered Radio Row before, and you see the faces behind the voices and how they dress. Sometimes you're like, oh, okay. Okay.
They're definitely not wearing suits on Radio Row. No. So we're excited to make history today. In Utah sports radio, two guys in suits. Maybe that's not a good thing in radio because you can't see and it doesn't really enhance the program. But whatever. We brought up the point. Here we are in suits doing sports talk radio.
Look good. You talk good.
You play good.
That's what I'm going with.
There you go. We got a great show for you today. Lots going on. We got our Jazz Daily coming up. Big news involving that story with the A's coming to Utah. Womp womp. We'll get into the details on that. We got a Utah spring football update coming up. NFL Blitz, former Cougar legend, has signed a new contract in the NFL, so all the details on that. But our top story of the day is college football and a brand new idea that was floated out there. We're going to break it around right now on The Cut.
It's time for the biggest story of the day. This is What Made The Cut with JJ and Alex on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Okay, I think we'll all agree that college football, the system currently in place, while there are good things going on right now, I think the college football playoff with 12 teams is amazing.
Yes.
The system is broken. This is not sustainable. You currently see the Big Ten and the SEC taking over complete and total power. What does that mean for the future of college football? You see NIL out of control. What does that mean for the college football? There are lawsuits that are going to be coming up, antitrust lawsuits, things going on with that, the legalities of what college football is right now. That's a problem. The mess has to be cleaned up. The question is, Sam, what is the solution to that problem? Well, there's one group that thinks they have that solution. The group is called College Sports Tomorrow. This, according to The Athletic, who broke the story yesterday, it's a group of It's 20 people, and they're very influential people. One of them is the co-owner of Real Salt Lake, David Blitzer, who also owns the Philadelphia 76ers. There's the NFL's number two executive, Brian Rolapp. The organizer of this is Lou Perna of Turnkey SRG. And for those of you who aren't familiar with that, that is a search firm that places nearly all the top conference commissioners, including the Big Ten's Tony Petitti. So Perna has a listening ear, for what it's worth, but the idea has been floated for a college football super league that could potentially fix what is currently called a, quote, dead system. So there's the idea. Sam, your reaction here. The thought and the idea of a super league in college football, what do you think?
I think yes. I think we've been trending that direction for quite a while now. It just needs to happen. And I know there's going to be a lot of questions as to, okay, well, what does that mean for the NCAA and for the rest of the, you know, the NCAA will be just fine. Okay, they'll be just fine. Their biggest moneymaker is the NCAA tournament because bowl games are their own entities already, you know, and so they're going to be fine just running, just just cut off football and go do your thing in NCAA. This league needs to happen, I think, because it will bring a little more stability to the nonstop movement that we've seen over the past few years, the ever-changing landscape of college football, the destruction of regional rivalries and traditional rivalries just to be in the right leagues or the right conferences, to be in a position where you can compete for a national title, to be in a position where you can bring in the most money. A league like this, in my mind, would hopefully solidify, you know, all of that and kind of calm it down, at least, because then you can rearrange everything into regions, new leagues, new conferences, new divisions, however you want to do it, and ultimately play for a single champion.
I think most smart people would acknowledge that the current state of college football calls for college football to break apart. It's different than all the other sports right. in college sports. It's different. The audience number is different. What's demanded of the players is different at this point. What's being paid to these players is different. They do need their own break-off organization. I believe that's true. Now, the CST outline would create a system that would have the top 70 programs.
Mm-hmm.
All members of the five former major conferences, plus Notre Dame and new ACC member SMU. So all the Power Five, even the Pac-2.
Right.
Would be included in this.
State, yep.
There's 130 universities, so that's 70. So where does that leave the others? Well, here's their answer to that. The perpetual members would be in the 7-team 10 division. So those 70 teams would always be in it. There would be 7 10-team divisions. And then they'd be joined by an 8th division that would be promoted from the second tier. Now we're getting into an idea that's kind of like European football.
Yeah.
Or soccer.
Right.
The 50-plus second division teams would have the opportunity to compete their way into the upper division.
Love it.
Creating a promotion system and a demotion system similar to the structure in European football leagues. The 70 permanent teams would never be in danger of moving down, while the second division would have the incentive of promotion and relegation. People talked about promotion relegation often. Now, I hate the fact that Vanderbilt's in. Vanderbilt
right.
should be relegated.
Yes.
There's plenty of programs. Multiple. Virginia's had yep. some rough years. There's some Power 4/5 teams that have been bad over the years consistently. It's not fair that they get locked into this, but you know what? Sometimes you're born on third base.
Mm-hmm.
So we know what that means, right? There's a little bit of privilege there. So CST's borrowing that from different leagues, right? The NFL with the division format,
yep.
Premier League in soccer. That's kind of where they're going at with that. So that's interesting. And before I get into more details, I want to mention that obviously Utah would be in there,
yes,
but and BYU as
BYU.
Well. But this could also benefit a school like Utah State if this system were implemented, because while Utah State would not be included in the 70, they'd have a very good chance, based on performance, to be included in the last 10,
yep.
to be part of the overall 80.
100%.
So I like the idea that this does have a way and a function for the group of five to work their way into that system.
And so I'm curious to see, down the road, you know, you mentioned the Vanderbilts and, you know, maybe the Rutgers and Northwesterns of these power conferences that just are kind of automatically in these situations where they've never really had a great football program. You know, every now and then they do. They have a solid program, but it's just not. I kind of wonder if further down the road, and I'm getting way ahead of myself because I haven't even made this league yet, but
right.
if further down the road, the relegation system would then incorporate to some extent the 70 that are protected. However, what I love about this situation for a team like Utah State is, yes, you have an opportunity to play yourself in. You prove it on the field. And then once you get in, stay in, right? But people wonder where the excitement is in that sometimes. And I'll tell you what, European football, you know, international soccer that have relegation, a lot of these leagues, you don't win your championship with a playoff. The points, right? By the time you get a certain amount of points, you've already won with a week left in the season, 2 weeks left, whatever. The real excitement is at that relegation line, where teams going down to the wire are fighting tooth and nail to win these games, to stay in the promoted league and not get demoted. And I think that would make the bottom part of college football really, really exciting in the last month of the season, to watch these teams fighting just to be included into this potential Super League where you could be in a playoff and then compete for a title. There's a lot to be excited about with this overall. I like the idea. Of course, you're going to have to iron out all the details. You're going to have to really solidify things. But the base of it, I really like. I'm for it. I'm behind it. I say let's go.
You need a commissioner. I think that would be good. There needs to be a leader in college football. Right now, there isn't one. Universities would own a percentage of the league. I think that's intriguing. That would give them incentive to join.
Yeah.
Right? That would also present a situation where they have now one structure. Even though they're eliminating conferences, the traditional conferences, they are having the divisions. But what it would do is create one entity that would be able to negotiate with a prospective union, because there's going to have to be a union for the players.
Yeah, you have to.
And then that would handle NIL, compensation, transfer portal, all that stuff would kind of be handled and taken care of with that. So there would be a collective bargaining that could allow it to avoid some of the antitrust issues that are going on right now, because that's a big problem. There's a lot of legal issues currently going on right now with college football and the way things are currently structured. So they need to do something to change that. So what would stop this from happening? Here's why I don't think this is ever going to happen.
Okay.
Because there are some very powerful entities who don't want this to happen, because there are currently some entities involved that do have a lot of power. It's the TV networks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%. That's where the money comes from.
They don't want this. No. They have deals made. They have very lucrative deals made. I think that that Fox and ESPN like things the way they are. I think they're totally fine with the Big Ten and the SEC running the show, because the Fox has control of the money in the Big Ten, and the ESPN now has the SEC part of it, and everybody else is kind of details, right? That's going to be the problem, because there are contracts that are currently in place. Are these TV networks going to want to play ball here? How interested are they going to be in this? Do they want to? I think they like the power that they have right now.
Right.
Are they going to be willing to relinquish some of that power for the good of the game? I don't think the networks have any interest in what's good for the game. They have interest in what's good for them.
Yeah, 100%. And so here's one thought that I have in regards to that is, yes, they have these current big contracts. And like, how long are those till? 28, 29, maybe even beyond. I don't know how long they go. So this new Super League may have to wait until some of these TV contracts run their course. But the thing is, they don't all coincide with each other.
Yeah.
The contracts with every conference. But if a league like this is created, I think you do have the opportunity to open up then the option for the networks to bid, maybe for each division, whatever the divisions are. Okay, you've got the broadcast rights for this division, and you can get more than one. You can get multiple.
Kind of like the NFL.
Exactly, 100%. The NFL, CBS has the AFC, mm-hmm. Fox has the NFC. You have NBC and ESPN, ABC bidding for their Monday night and Sunday night and other night games, right?
Amazon, yeah.
Exactly. So there's the opportunity for these networks to still get the control that they've enjoyed, maybe not to the full extent, you know, where they can control some of the matchups and things like that, but they'll still be able to jump in on this and make a lot of money for their networks. I still feel like something like this will make more money than we've ever seen in college football before, just because there's going to be more excitement, more structure, and more of a organized plan for there to be a national champion. That's why I like the 12-team playoff. I think it just gets even better with a league.
No question about it. To answer your question about the TV deals, the Big Ten's deal runs through the 29-30 season with Fox. The Big 12's run goes through 2030 and 31, so we're looking at, you know, 6-7 years mm-hmm. ahead. The SEC's exclusive deal with ESPN, that goes to 2033-34. You think ESPN wants to renegotiate or redo that?
Yeah.
That's an obstacle. I think that the CST is pitching, according to this article by The Athletic, that there's more TV money here. There's more untapped TV money. Apparently, that's one TV executive called that, quote, naive. So that's an obstacle. So you're looking at, you know, this is not going to be able to be negotiated until the 2030s as far as TV goes. And what did ESPN do? They just signed off on the 6-year, $7.8 billion extension with exclusive rights to the expanded college football playoff. That's 6 years ahead. So
yeah.
This is not going to happen soon if it does. But it desperately needs to happen. And I think it's unfortunate that there's going to have to be a wait here, because the sport puts itself in a little bit of peril. While it's never been more popular,
right,
and it's never been better to watch, and it's never been more compelling and interesting, there's some problems here. There's some major problems here with NIL, with the transfer portal, with the lawsuits. And that's probably the biggest one.
Yeah.
Is there's so many lawsuits out there. There's antitrust issues here, and they've got to get resolved. The longer that goes out, the more lawsuits pick up steam, the more these courts find in favor of the plaintiff, mm-hmm. then you got a problem. You got a problem. So something needs to happen. It needs to happen soon. I just concerned, Sam, that while it sounds great and it makes a lot of sense and it does need to happen, you've heard Chip Kelly, former UCLA head coach, who's now the offensive coordinator at Ohio State, pitch something like this. You've heard Kyle Whittingham talk about something similar, how
right.
the college football is inevitably having to go to this thing where you're going to have to break away from the NCAA, break away from all the other sports, form your own league because football is so different, get a commissioner, and figure out how to run the show the right way. But there's just too many problems with the TV situation, the TV networks and everything else. It's just too complicated. I don't see it happening, even though it needs to happen.
I think the way, so there's one thought that comes to mind of how maybe you get the TV networks on board. You have to include their executives into the trust, the group, right? The group that has Blitzer and these other names that you mentioned earlier. Include the TV networks into there to help form this league, get their minds, get their decisions behind it as well, so that something can be formed with them on board as well, where they'd be willing to maybe end certain contracts early to get on board with new deals. I don't know. That's one thought. But the other thought I have is that if something like this does happen sooner than later, it might not be an 80-team thing. They might have to reduce the size to make it a little easier, which then coming from the market of Utah, it makes you a little nervous for Utah State and maybe even a BYU. I think Utah's played themselves into the safest position with their track record. But if you're looking at a 48, 56 team thing that they finally decide on, I mean, things could get really messy in a situation like that. But it might be easier to work out deals with television networks that way.
Yeah, I mean, we can speculate on what would happen with BYU, Utah, even Utah State in that model,
mm-hmm.
how that would impact them. I mean, BYU's in the Big 12, but how would that – we don't know.
Right, yeah.
I have no idea how – if they went 40, I don't know how they would divide that. If it went 50, I don't know how they would divide that. Obviously, this model would be fantastic
yeah.
news for all three FBS college football programs in our state, in my opinion. I think it would – this makes a lot of sense. I think this is the perfect way to do it. They'd have to figure some things out. But – I don't think many people that are of influence are going to listen. So far, according to the article, the group is struggling to gain traction with the schools that would play in their proposed Super League, so it's not so super after all. In fact, the ACC Board of Directors heard a presentation from the group in February. However, planned dinners with administration from the Big Ten, SEC, and Big 12 all were called off, and spokespersons for the Big Ten and SEC have not met with Perna's group, so that's interesting. Leagues have been hesitant and canceled meetings so as to not upset their current broadcast partners.
Always.
Including ESPN and Fox, according to one executive briefed on the commissioner's thoughts. So that's all you need to know. With that information, gives you perspective on the fact that these networks,
yeah,
I'm telling you, you know, we work in media.
Yeah.
We get it.
Yeah.
You pay a lot of money for this access and for this content and for this product. You do not want to give it up. You do not want to share it. You do not want to change it. You want to hold on to that. You want to get your money's worth. They pay a lot of money. They're not going to just bend over and give up what they've acquired in order to build this thing that would be better for the sport, but is not necessarily better for ESPN and Fox. They have no interest in renegotiating these contracts, so I don't see this happening until, like we said, you're looking at the 2030s.
How long did it take for the Bowl Alliance to become the BCS, for the BCS to become a four-team play, or to include more than just the champ? You know, every move they've ever made, it's taken, it feels like, at least a decade, right? Even from the four-team to get to where we are moving into a 12-team, it takes time. It's gonna be a while, yes.
The only thing is, I feel like the antitrust lawsuits could speed this up to where there's just this, it reaches a boiling point where they've got to do something.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm telling you, everybody listening right now, this is not going to happen until the 2030s. Can we wait that long? Sure we can, because like you said, we waited a long time for an actual real playoff. We waited for the 4-team playoff, and now we finally have a 12-team playoff, and who knows what that's going to become in the future, but at least we have that now. But it took forever.
Yeah.
Everything in college football moves at a snail's pace because the powers that be want it that way.
And the powers or TV, like you said. It just it just keeps coming back around to that.
Yeah, it used to be the Bulls. That's not the right, case anymore. Now it's ESPN, Fox. The TV networks are running the show, and that's how it is. So it's going to be very interesting to see how that all plays out. I think that's a story worth following. I think it's interesting that an actual organized group of very influential and powerful people are trying to do something.
Good.
Because we all recognize, Sam, that something needs to be done. When that happens and what it is, that remains to be seen. All right. Let's move ahead now. We are privileged and excited to welcome in our good friends at Hercules Credit Union. In studio today, Alex here with us. Alec, first time meeting you, first time having you here. It's a privilege and a pleasure. We're excited to have you here. We're so excited about the Hercules Hero of the Week. It's been going really well. It's so awesome that you guys have made this effort to recognize people who do so much for sports in our communities.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on. Yeah. And yeah, we're excited and we're looking forward to keep doing it and keep growing it, hopefully, and keep recognizing the coaches and the people out there that are making it happen. So they're important to us, and we want to make sure they're getting the recognition they deserve.
We've got a winner today that we're going to recognize at 4:30, so we're excited about that. We look forward to that. While we have you here, Hercules Credit Union. You know, everybody has multiple credit unions here. Mm-hmm. They have multiple choices. I want to give you an opportunity to share with everybody, why is Hercules Credit Union the best choice?
Well, Hercules Credit Union, so it's been around in the community for a long, long time, and it's still a mid-sized credit union, so we haven't gotten too big, and the interactions we have with our members is very, very personal. So everyone knows you, everyone recognizes you, and it helps when you're building those relationships, and when you're coming to us for any financial needs, whether it's something as simple as just getting cash or looking at doing a home equity loan on your home. We're there to help you through all those steps.
You bring up a great point because I know, like, not to pick on anybody else, but we drive around town and we see these massive buildings around with whatever credit union on the side of it. It's like, wait a minute. Credit union started as a way to make banking more personable and easier and to avoid banks. Now it feels like a lot of the credit unions have become banks, but as you're saying, Hercules is different.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's all about the personal touch, and we want to make sure that when our members come in, they feel valued and that they're not just an account number and that we're not there just to, you know, make a profit or anything like that. We genuinely care. We want to make sure that they're being taken care of.
And you talk about taking care of, I know one of the most important products you offer is security.
Yeah. Yep. So we offer a whole slew of things. One of the big things right now is with our gold tier checking, we offer a Ultimate ID, which is a credit monitoring system as well as a lot of other great features. But yeah, we want to make sure that our people are covered. A
lot of great features. Hercules Credit Union, like Alex said, you get that small bank / credit union feel, and the customer service is top notch. Alec, we appreciate it. We're not done. You'll be back here in 30 more minutes. We'll learn more about Hercules Credit Union. We'll talk about the Hercules Hero of the Week. Thanks for stopping by, Alex. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll continue discussing Hercules Credit Union throughout the show today. And we appreciate all you're doing with the Hercules Hero of the Week. What a great program. It's awesome. We're so thrilled to be a part of it.
Thank you, guys.
All right. We've got to take a break on JJ and Alex. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Coming up next, it's the Jazz Daily. Will Hardy. Has he never been ejected from a game?
I don't believe he has.
Is he going to try?
Sounds like he might.
We'll talk about that next. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
You know what's coming.
Your daily deep dive into everything Utah Jazz.
It's done.
All season long and even in the off season, it's Jazz Daily with JJ and Alex on your exclusive home of Utah Jazz basketball. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Basketball, give me the ball because I'm gonna dunk it! Basketball, give me the ball.
It's time for Jazz Daily on this Thursday, our daily dip into what's the latest with the Utah Jazz. Before that, I want to mention our good friends at Hercules Credit Union who are in studio today. They're doing a great job with Hero of the Week. We're thrilled to be a part of it. Nominate the youth sports volunteer that you know for the Hercules Hero of the Week. Submit your nomination at kslsports.com/contests and listen every Thursday afternoon to JJ and Alex for the winner. Help us celebrate the efforts of those volunteers making an impact with the Hercules Hero of the Week. sponsored by our good friends, Hercules Credit Union. So the Utah Jazz have six games remaining. And, Sam, we're looking at things to watch because they're not making the playoffs. They're eliminated officially. That's been known since the trade deadline. They're 3-17 now.
Ugh.
Since the deadline, future. After the loss to the Cavs, I believe, if my math's correct, which probably isn't because I'm an idiot. Running joke on the show, for those of you tuning in now. There's not a lot of things to really focus on other than the fact that they want to develop the rookies. You know, Lauri Markkanen's sitting. We know who Lauri Markkanen is. Jordan Clarkson's not playing. You know, they've got guys that are hurt. Walker Kessler's now got a broken nose. I don't think we're going to see him for the rest of the season. So it really is about these young guys. One thing was brought up, which is kind of fun, and maybe we can see this happen in the last six games, is Will Hardy, now in his second year as a head coach, has never been tossed or ejected from an NBA game. I think that's kind of a cool goal.
Yeah, do it.
Let's see it.
So here, look, Jazz fans want to be entertained. They still fill the arena. They want to be. I think that would be very entertaining. So this is what Will's got to do. You got L.A. tomorrow, the Clippers.
Don't do it in L.A.
No. And then you got Golden State on Sunday. And those two games, you got to start priming the pump a little bit. You got to start getting boiled up a little bit. Maybe draw tech in each game, right? Figure out, okay, which buttons are working against these refs here. And then come back home for that Denver game on Tuesday against the Nuggets and just let it go. Get fired up. Get revved up. Whatever. Just give us a good show. And once you know you've got the T's and you're out, then it just like a manager in baseball, they know they're gone. Really give it a show. You know, throw some dirt around. I don't know what you do. Slap a cup of water like Rudy. You know, come on, do something. He probably doesn't want to get fined.
He probably don't want to throw some. You got to find that. You're absolutely right. I don't think he wants to lose any money over this.
Break a clipboard.
Find the delicate balance.
Steve Kerr.
Don't get crazy, but get kicked out of a game. Why not? I think the fans would love it. You're going to be down by 30 to the Nuggets in the third quarter. Let it go. Do it against the defending champs. No one's going to care if you do it against the Rockets. By the way, we're having fun here. And so did Will Hardy. I love that he thought it was – he had a lot of fun with that when he was asked about it, how he'd never been ejected from a game and said – so I got the quote right here. He says, I think it would be fun, but the key I think for me would be avoiding any sort of activity that could result in a fine afterwards. That's not what I want. You do it, it happens. I would like to do it in this building. I think the crowd generally appreciates things like that, but we'll see. So we will see. So that's something to watch for. We're at the point now where we're just trying to find things that, that might be fun here with.
He also talked about how assistant coaches try to hold back the head coach in this article.
Does Will Hardy have a hold back guy?
He said he's never been held back before. Uh-oh. We got to make sure that happens too. He gets so fired up that they're trying to hold him back that, like, they're ripping off whatever polo or suit Cody's got on. So he's reaching for, you know, it's got to be embellished here. They should practice this. He should practice it at shoot around. All right, let's practice getting ejected today. Let's do this right, guys.
You got to practice everything. I hope he's got a hold back guy because, you know, you've lost 10 straight games. I mean, we're all frustrated here. So you might need a hold back guy. So, yeah. In all seriousness, two home games left in the regular season, four on the road. Warriors-Clippers and Warriors-Clippers are the road games. That's brutal.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Nuggets and Rockets. The Rockets are technically still playing for something, and I like that team a lot. They really took a step this year with Ume Udoka coach. Jalen Green's a star. I love him. And obviously you bring in Fred VanVleet and Alperen Sengun. The Rockets have something. I think the Rockets are even further ahead than the Jazz. It pains me to say that. But the Rockets have a nice group there that's going to get better and better with Green at the head of it. He's a spectacular player. He's got a little bit of Anthony Edwards in him. The athleticism and the confidence and the swagger, he could be an all-star, I think, next year, as early as next year. So that's what the Jazz have to look forward to on the schedule. Clippers on the road Friday, Warriors Sunday, and then the Nuggets on Tuesday, and then the Rockets next Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then the season ends that weekend, Thursday, Friday, and then Sunday. So we're almost near the end of a Jazz season. And I think that's actually a good thing because the games are not what's important right now. It's been the development of the rookies. And I think fans, the organization, the players alike cannot wait to jump into this offseason because we all want to see what's next. I want to see what's next. What can Danny Ainge and Justin Zanuck do next? What do they have in store? They got a brand change coming up, right?
Yeah.
Our own Ben Anderson had some details about that he shared recently. If you're not following Ben Anderson on social media or reading his stuff at KSLSports.com, you can go find that online at KSLSports.com. I think purple really is back next year, for real.
And yellow is gone.
Goodbye.
Finally.
So I think that's positive. So there's a lot of things to look forward that are positive moving forward. I really can't wait to dig into that. I mean, the games, enjoy the Jazz games while you can. Like we said, two entertaining teams coming to town that you can watch. Just because the Jazz aren't winning games and aren't particularly good right now doesn't mean you're not getting a great product over there. There's been a lot of exciting, fun games to watch with some of the best talent in the league, and the NBA's never been better. I'm telling you, you look at the Western Conference standings and you see the players that are involved. We talked about it with David Locke yesterday, Sam. You're looking at a play-in situation where Steph Curry, LeBron James, and Kevin Durant are going to be in the play-in. Are you kidding me?
It's bonkers.
The play-in.
And one of those teams very well could go as far as the NBA Finals too. Two of those three
won't even make the playoffs.
Right, exactly, which is absolutely crazy.
Unless the Kings are the team that drops out.
These play-in games have been fun. I'm looking forward to it. It's basically the one and done. Your life's on the line. It has more of that March Madness feel to it.
Yep.
And so it's just super important for the one game, right? So,
yeah.
What I like about these last two Jazz games, too, get Will Hardy ejected against the Nuggets. Go watch Nikola Jokic do his thing, which is he is just remarkable, just an amazing basketball player to watch.
Appreciate the greatness.
I think they might get that win against Houston. I think they might get a win before the season's over, and I think it might be that Houston game.
Well, they better not.
They
got to keep that eighth worst spot. They'll probably still have it. If you leave it to fate in the NBA draft lottery, you know the Jazz luck in the lottery over the years.
It's not good.
If there's a way, they'll find a way to drop the Jazz to 11, and then they'll lose that pick, and so all this losing would be for naught. Got to keep that pick. Now I know it's not a great draft, but that's the challenge for the Jazz is to find the players that do hit in this draft, and I think that Danny Ainge embraces that challenge. Watches a lot of tape. He's been watching some of these guys since high school. I think that the Jazz, the fact that they want this first-round pick pretty badly, tells me they've identified someone or multiple someones in this draft, even though it's considered one of the worst drafts in the last 20 years as far as talent goes. I think the Jazz have identified someone they really like, and they want to be a factor. They want a shot at somebody. Don't know who that is, don't know where they would land or whatever, but this Jazz certainly want to be a part of this draft. They'll have a top eight pick. Who knows? Maybe this is the year they finally win the lottery. Then they got that late first and that early second, which will feel a lot like a first-round pick with the benefit of not having to give a player a guaranteed contract. So there's a lot of reasons why this offseason is going to be really interesting for the Jazz, and we are almost there. It's crazy how fast the season has gone, but then again, it kind of feels like it's – We know what it is, okay? We know what it is. Real quick college basketball note before we go to break. I wanted to bring this up.
Mm-hmm.
USC has hired a new head basketball coach. They have replaced Andy Enfield, and it's a big name. It's Arkansas head coach Eric Musselman, who was a former NBA coach, and then, of course, he had success at Nevada.
Nevada was great. Utah State
fans are very familiar with Coach Musselman and his teams there, and then, of course, went to Arkansas where they had some nice tournament runs. This year, though, did not go well. And so now Eric Musselman is the new head coach at USC. Now, another reason why that's interesting for those of you listening was Mark Pope was reportedly a candidate for that job, but obviously that's going to somebody else. So BYU fans, you don't have to worry about Mark Pope leaving for LA. That job has been filled, and Mark Pope is still the head coach at BYU.
Here's the thing. If Mark Pope has another NCAA tournament run season next year, which I believe this team is probably going to...
No reason why not.
Right, exactly. He does it again. His name's going to be on a lot more teams' lists next year. I mean, he was mentioned with Louisville, mentioned with Washington, mentioned with USC this year. Mm-hmm. His name's going to be out there again. And I don't think it would take much to maybe twist his arm to leave. And I know BYU fans think, oh, no. He's got a good spot. He's in a good situation. Look, Mark Pope, he played at Kentucky. He played in the NBA, right? He understands power basketball, and if he has the chance to coach it at the highest levels at historic programs, he's going to do it.
I will also throw this out there with that, is Kentucky would like to move on from their basketball coach.
Yeah.
But John Calipari has a $34, $35 million buyout, which is why he's still the coach there. But the Kentucky fan base is done with him. I think that buyout needs to come down significantly. At some point, that's going to end. And at that point, Mark Pope, who is very, very, very popular in Lexington.
Yes, he is.
Was a member of the 1996 national championship team. And with the experience he's had at BYU, getting BYU into the NCAA tournament under their circumstances, I think there's a lot of folks in Lexington and a lot of powerful people that support that program that would love to bring Mark Pope to Lexington. And how could Coach Pope turn that down?
Makes so much sense.
Of course, but there's no reason to speculate on that right now, right? Because John Calipari is still the head coach of Kentucky, and that $35 million buyout means he'll probably be there as long as he wants to.
On April 4th, 2025, we'll revisit this conversation.
I don't know the future of that buyout, but I know what it is right now, and even Kentucky's saying no to that.
Yeah.
All right, we got to take another short break. Would You Rather is next. JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Listen, everybody.
Real-life hypotheticals to get your brain churning. As JJ and Alex ask, would you rather?
You know, Sam, normally we do a little would you rather here, but it's interesting. We did a would you rather yesterday.
Yeah.
About this topic I want to bring up right now real quick since we have some time.
I think I know where you're going.
We talked about, would you rather have the NHL come to town and be an expansion team, or would you rather have Ryan Smith buy the Arizona Coyotes? What was our consensus? Buy the Coyotes.
Get them here.
Bring them here now. Well, yep. Guess what? This is interesting. Arizona Coyotes owner Alex Marullo has spoken to multiple potential buyers who are in Arizona and out of Arizona to gauge their interest in purchasing the NHL franchise from him. This is according to Arizona Sports, John Gambadoro. Wow. Marullo reportedly was seeking upward of $1 billion for the franchise that he bought in July 2019. The Coyotes owner had a recent meeting with NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman regarding the team's future. I know, personally, a owner, potential owner, who owns an entertainment group that has already stated publicly, that, or maybe the word's out, maybe he hasn't stated publicly, but word is out publicly that he's already offered to buy that franchise for $1 billion.
That sounds like the asking price. Interesting, because that sounds like the price he's looking for, $1 billion, you know? And the fact that he's been speaking, according to the reports, now the Coyotes, of course, issued a statement that no, they're solely focused.
Of course,
they're solely focused on winning that land auction bid. that's what Mr. Marullo's focused on.
We're intently focused on winning the lottery so we can save our franchise.
We're gonna get that auction, that land auction bid. We're gonna build this entertainment district that no one in Arizona wants. We're gonna find a way. However, the report says Marullo's been meeting with Gary Bettman, the commissioner, as you mentioned, Jeremiah, and we know Ryan Smith and Gary Bettman have developed a relationship over the past year plus. We know that Gary Bettman is very aware of Ryan Smith, very aware of his desire to have an NHL franchise, to own an NHL franchise, and to have it in Salt Lake City. It just really feels like all the dots are starting to be connected here.
Things that make you go,
Yeah, no kidding.
The stars are aligning, like I told you yesterday. Feels very, very good. I'm not saying 100% yet, but feels definitely in the 90-plus percent range that the Arizona Coyotes could be the Utah Coyotes or something else and play in the Delta Center in 2024-25 while we wait for a new multi-purpose arena to be built here in downtown.
I had a Twitter interaction with a fan yesterday when I was mentioning something about hockey and potentially coming to Utah, Arizona, whatnot. Well, the Delta Center sight lines aren't built for an NHL. Why would they do that? I'm like, I don't care. I get it. I've been in the Delta Center for the Frozen Fury. It's not a hockey arena, but it works. But that's not the permanent solution either. It's get the team here.
Yeah.
And don't worry, Ryan Smith has a plan. There will be a new arena.
I'll tell you, 14 or 15,000 in Delta Center is a lot more than that 4,000 seat college arena that they're playing in right now in Tempe.
Solid.
So exciting news there that we just shared with you. If you want to connect the dots. Nothing's official, but the fact that despite everything we've been hearing, Alex Marullo, the owner of the Arizona Coyotes, is fielding offers or taking calls on offers to buy the franchise.
Are you sure?
From him.
I mean, the Coyotes say he's just working on a land auction.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
All right, good news there for NHL to Utah. Show today brought to you by Trajan Wealth, your local financial fiduciary. Call them at 801-899-7600 or visit their website at trajanwealth.com. Do not put off your retirement planning or your financial planning. Give them a call today. Also want to mention that Hans and Scotty, join Hans and Scotty Friday from noon to 3 at Rogers Performance Marine to celebrate their grand opening and splash into spring event. That's 1009 Recreation Way in North Salt Lake, Friday, noon to 3, Rogers Performance Marine. Let's now turn our attention to our good friends at Hercules Credit Union. Alec is back with us. We are less than a half hour away, actually, from, well, a little more than a half hour. No, we're exactly a half hour away from announcing our latest Hercules Hero of the Week. What you're doing with that program is awesome. We're great to be grateful to be a partner with you on that. And learning more about Hercules Credit Union, you offer so many great things. We'll talk about a couple of those things right now. The one thing I wanted to ask you about was home equity. Because yeah. We look at the market right now, Alec, and there's not a lot of home movement because people don't want to sell their homes. They don't want to maybe give up their good rate, or it's just not feasible. But you got a lot of home equity. So what do you need to do? You need to come talk to Hercules Credit Union about that.
That's true. We're gonna get you squared away. Right now we're offering a phenomenal promo rate at 3.99% for the first 6 months.
Say that again.
It's going to be 3.99% for the first 6 months.
3.99?
Yep. So come check us out. We'd love to get you squared away. Time to get that basement finished up. So
no doubt. For 3.99 right now?
3.99.
If you heard that right now, don't drive off the freeway. That was not a joke. That's for the first 6 months, right? Okay.
First 6 months.
That's awesome. So I think everybody is looking at it now. I've dealt with that. I want to improve my home. I mean, I've got all this equity. Why not? So now's a good time to pull the trigger.
Yeah. So just reach out to us over the phone. You can reach out online, get everything finished up there. But yeah, make sure you don't miss out on it. It is for a limited time. So 3.99.
One of the other great things you guys offer is the security aspect of things. And with your checking, explain to everybody what they get when they get your checking and what the options are and how the security thing works.
Yeah. So right now we have our gold tier checking. And so that comes with a slew of great features and benefits. One of them is, which we talked about, is the Ultimate ID. So it comes with credit bureau monitoring, so you can make sure you know what's going on with your credit. No surprises when you're going to get your home equity.
Yeah.
And then we also offer, as part of our benefits package with our checking account, our rewards program. So you actually can earn points and you can redeem them for things like travel, cash back, gift cards, e-gift cards, which are really great. And there's some great, great deals on those as well.
Look, if you're looking for a home equity loan or you're looking for checking, the security features you offer, if you're not happy with your current bank or credit union, give Hercules Credit Union a try. This is all sound. I mean, I can't get over the 3.99. That's awesome what you guys are doing. And so that's something to jump on. Alec, thanks so much. Appreciate it. You'll be back here in a half hour.
Yes, sir.
And we'll talk more about all the great things you guys have to offer. And we'll also give away our latest winner in the Hercules Hero of the Week. We've got to take a short break. JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.